Welcome to the Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. This simple, scripturally sound preaching and teaching of the Word of God will direct you to Jesus, the Good Shepherd. Follow the Shepherd's Voice into the green pastures that God has purposed for you. There, you'll find rest for your soul and the fulfilled Christian experience you crave. God bless you as you listen.
Talking about the beautiful sights that we will see in heaven. The white pearly gates. The streets made of gold. The rivers, the trees, the tree of life, the beautiful mansions. I'm sure we'll see amazing mountains, hills, valleys. It's going to be beautiful. I believe it. I haven't been there yet. There are people who've been caught up in heaven and they testified about the beautiful scenery there. But ladies and gentlemen, the only thing that matters is that knowledge and expectation that Jesus is going to be there. That we'll see our beloved Savior, and that we'll spend all of eternity with Him, with the Father, and with the Holy Spirit. And one songwriter said, if heaven never was promised to me, if God's promise that we will live eternally wasn't true, I dare say that it's been worth having the Lord in our lives. Because when we were living in the world of darkness, He brought us the light. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you glory and honor for everything that you've done in our lives, for saving us and for giving us that assurance of eternity spent with you. Thank you for this church. Thank you for an opportunity to meet. Sometimes we don't appreciate enough what a privilege it is to freely gather in your house and in your presence with a company and in the company of other believers. I pray, Holy Spirit, help us to value these things. But tonight we pray in the name of Jesus that you continue to speak to us as you've done aforetimes. I pray for everyone physically here. I pray for those who will be watching online, wherever they are watching from. I am limited in what I can see. But thank you that your eyes are open to us all wherever we are. I pray, Father, that you will touch your people. And let tonight's encounter with you be a wonderful experience, full of knowledge, understanding, truth, and insight. Use me for your glory and for your honor. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. You may be seated and turn your Bibles with me to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25, reading from verse number 14. And I'm reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. For the kingdom of heaven is like a man traveling to a far country who called his own servants and delivered his goods to them. And to one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, to each according to his own ability. And immediately he went on a journey. Then he who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and made another 5 talents. And likewise, he who had received 2 gained 2 more also. But he who had received 1 went and dug in the ground and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of those servants came and settled accounts with them. So he who had received 5 talents came and brought 5 other talents, saying, Lord, you delivered to me 5 talents. Look, I have gained 5 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You were faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. He also who had received 2 talents came and said, Lord, you delivered to me 2 talents. Look, I have gained 2 more talents besides them. His Lord said to him, well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a few things. I will make you ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Then he who had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you have not sown. Your eye trunk, your head inside hard, your matter is very hard. And not just that, you gather where you have not scattered seed. That makes you what? That makes you a thief. So this guy was accusing his master of being a thief. And I was afraid and went and hid your talent in the ground. Look, there you have what is yours. But his Lord answered and said to him, you wicked and lazy servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I have not scattered seed. So you ought to have deposited my money with the bankers, and at my coming, I would have received back my own with interest. So take the talent from him and give it to him who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have abundance. But from him who does not have, even what he has will be taken away. And cast the unprofitable servant into the outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his holy word. I suspect that I will end this season of the parables of Jesus with this particular one. And tonight I want to share with you about the parable of the talents. The parable of the talents. And by now, you should know very well that every parable has a central decisive point. The main thing to pick from that parable. So what is the main thing to glean from this parable of the talents? It is that we must prudently plan and diligently keep working while we wait for the return of our master. We must prudently or wisely plan and diligently keep working. We mustn't be slack. We must diligently keep working while we wait for the master's return, which is the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. That, ladies and gentlemen, is the central decisive point of the parable of the talents. I ran through it again, that we must prudently plan and diligently keep working while we wait for his return. Can I have an amen from somebody? The lessons to pick from this parable. First one, this parable reminds us that whether Christ returns early or late, he should find us doing our best for him. Amen. It reminds us that whether Christ returns early or late, he should find us doing our best for him. So in verse 16 and 17 of Matthew 25, the New Living Translation says, the servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest. He did what? He began to invest the money and earned 5 more. And the servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work. He did what? He went to work and he earned 2 more. Now, this paints a picture of people working diligently and trying to do their best with what had been given to them. Hallelujah. So the first thing to pick, the first lesson to pick from this parable is that whether Christ returns early or late, he should find us doing our best for him. Which raises a question for each and every one of us. Are we doing our best? Is the average Christian doing his best for the Lord? What do you think is the answer? Samuela? The answer is no, right? Yeah. And the reason why we are not doing our best is that we are not conscious of the return of Christ. And it is not something that we even think about. We have a lot of plans. And the return of Christ is not included. Yes, we are believers. We believe that he will come back someday. But it doesn't occur to us that he may come sooner than we anticipate. But the point that we are making here is that whether he's coming tomorrow or he's coming in 2050, our posture must be that we are going to do our best for the Lord. That should be our stance. But unfortunately, that is not it. And so you realize that we don't take the things of God very seriously. We are not very committed to him. We are very relaxed about a lot of things. Today, during the last prayer hour, we are praying that we will become steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's something that we prayed about because the truth is that we are not steadfast. We are not unmovable. And we are certainly not abounding in the work of the Lord. We are not. Hallelujah. Lesson number 2. This parable focuses on the last requirement needed. It focuses on the last requirement needed as we await the return of the Lord. It focuses on the last requirement needed as we await the return of the Lord. What is that last requirement? We must be found working for him. We must be found working for him. So this parable focuses on the last requirement needed as we await the return of the Lord, which is that we must be found working for him. You would recall that I have explained in the earlier teachings about the parables that have to do with the return of Jesus. Remember that I told you that in Matthew chapter 24 and 25, you find the Olivet Discourse, where Jesus taught about the end times and about his return. These two chapters in the Bible have a number of parables, most of which are short. But there are three long parables there, long in relation to the others. One of them is the parable of the wise servant and the foolish servant. The second one is the parable of the 10 bridesmaids, or the parable of the wise virgins and the foolish virgins. And then this one is the last of these three longer parables. And all of them have to do with the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, the parable of the two servants gives us, that is the parable of the wise servant and the foolish servant, gives us one of the requirements needed as we await the return of the Lord, which is that we must expectantly watch out for his return. We must expectantly watch out for his return. Then the parable of the 10 bridesmaids gives us the second requirement that is needed as we await the return of Christ, which is that we must patiently wait for his return. But then this third parable is showing us that we must be found working for him when he returns. So one teaches us we must expectantly wait for his return. The other one teaches us we must patiently wait for his return. And then this last one is teaching us that we must be found working for him when he returns. Hallelujah. Lesson number three. The Lord or master in this parable is, of course, Christ himself. And the three servants represent the children of God or Christians. The Lord or master in this parable is the Lord Jesus, and the three servants represent the children of God or Christians. Amen. Lesson number four. We are moving quite fast. Each servant was given immense responsibility. How many servants were there in this parable? Three. And I am submitting to you that each of these three servants was given immense responsibility. Because even a single talent is equivalent to a lot of money. Each servant was given immense responsibility because even a single talent is equivalent to a lot of money. How many talents was the first servant given? Five talents. Stay with me, please. How many talents was the second servant given? Two talents. And what was given to the last servant? One talent. Now, according to Bible experts, one talent of silver was equivalent at that time to $600,000. Yeah. You know, I used to think that what he was given was very little. And I preached a lot about that. But when I went deeper into this study, I realized that, as a matter of fact, he wasn't given something negligible at all. He was given something that was, it cost a lot of money. And the value of it was $600,000. So the five talents guy had an equivalent of $3 million. And then the two talent guy had the equivalent of $1.2 million. Oh, how delighted I will be if I could have even one fifth of a talent. A matter of time, right? I would move very fast with the church building project. So you must therefore understand that each of the servants was given an immense responsibility. And even the one who had one talent was actually given a lot. Now, what should that tell us? That every expectation that God has of us is very, very huge. That's what he should tell us. Now, what is God's expectation of us? Look at John 15:16. What work has he given us to do? It says, New Living Translation, "You didn't choose me, I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit." So that's the responsibility that has been given to every child of God. "I have chosen you, I have appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit, so that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name." So that the Father will give you whatever you ask for using my name. So in this scripture, you can see the responsibility that has been given to us, that we should go and produce lasting fruits. Amen. Now, lasting fruits. What fruits do you think that this scripture is predominantly referring to? What fruits? Souls. Souls. To win souls and to disciple them. Because that's what the Great Commission is about. Is that not so? Yeah. But I want you to understand that even if all you do is to win and establish one soul all through your Christian life, what you have done is of immense value. Even if it's just one. Even if it's just one, it is very, very valuable. How do I know? Luke 15, verse 7. In the same way, Luke chapter 15, verse 7, "There is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents." How many sinners? One. The Bible is saying that when one sinner repents, there is more joy in heaven over one lost sinner who repents and returns to God than over 99 others who are righteous and haven't strayed away. I want to draw your attention to the response in heaven when one person repents and returns to God, or is saved. It says that there is more joy in heaven over one. So it means that even one soul is seen as exceedingly valuable and precious to the Lord. To confirm that, look at another scripture, Matthew 16, verse 26. Matthew 16, verse 26. It says, "And what do you benefit if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul?" It continues, "Is anything worth more than your soul?" In the first part, it talks about the whole world and is comparing the whole world to your soul. That's the comparison that is being drawn there. And it is saying that if you were to gain the whole world and you lose your soul, you have lost the most valuable thing, which suggests that it is more valuable than the whole world. Now, that's the value of your soul and my soul. Which is why when one person is saved, there is a tremendous response and reaction in heaven. So therefore, even if in your service to God, all that you do is to win and establish and disciple one soul, you have done a great thing. But the problem and the tragedy is that the average Christian doesn't have any soul that he has won. It doesn't have. So every Christian and every member of the Shepherd's Fold Restoration family should now ask himself or herself, who is my soul? Who have I won unto the Lord? Who can I point to and say that this is my soul? I won him to the Lord, or I established him in the Lord. I followed him up. I discipled him. Who can you point to? Who? Can you mention a name? Where is he? Where is she? Can you point to anything like that? So understand that we have been given a responsibility. Again, he said, "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." That's the responsibility. And it's a responsibility to win souls. So we've been entrusted with that responsibility. And we must see that that responsibility is a very important and very extreme responsibility. We must see that it is an immense responsibility. So that even if in response to that responsibility, you were to win just one soul, where just is in inverted commas, you have actually achieved and accomplished a great thing. Made more valuable, because the average Christian doesn't have any soul that he has won unto the Lord. And that is why you should be glad that as your pastors, it's something that we talk consistently about. And there is always a constant effort to urge us, to push us on, to stir us up, to do something. That's why we come up with different things. Operation this, operation that. Let's do Saturday evangelism. This assembly is on duty on this Saturday. All those things are an attempt. An attempt to make sure that that responsibility entrusted to us, we are actually doing it. Because the master will return, and we are going to have to give an account regarding the responsibility entrusted to us. It's an immense one. It's of a great value. what has been entrusted to us. So each servant was given immense responsibility, because even a single talent is equivalent to a lot of money. How many can understand what I'm sharing with you tonight? Number five, each servant was given what the master knew he was capable of handling, depending on his character and ability. Each servant was given. So that's the fifth lesson we can derive from this parable, the parable of the talents. Each servant was given what the master knew he was capable of handling, depending on his character and ability. What was given, what was distributed to the three servants, was based on a certain knowledge that the Lord and Master had of each of the servants regarding their temperaments, their personalities, their character, and their ability. Amen. So in verse 15 of Matthew 25, it says, he gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last. Watch this. Dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He did the division based on their abilities, their capabilities, their temperaments, their character, what they are able to do. Because there are different temperaments. There are some temperaments you cannot entrust certain things to them, because by virtue of how they are, they will not be able to handle it. There are some things that are suited to melancholics. There are some things that are suited to cholerics. There are some things that work better with sanguines. And there are some jobs that are perfect for phlegmatics. These things are there. They exist. And if you just analyze what happens under the sun, you cannot help but notice these differences. And God did not make us exactly the same. And he's the one who formed us when we were in our mother's wombs. So he knows how each one of us essentially are. And when he's giving us responsibilities and all of that, he knows what we can handle. So you must understand that our master knows how we are, what he can entrust us with, so that he will not give to you what you cannot bear, and what you cannot carry, and what you cannot handle. So take pastors, for example. I have come to believe that for some pastors, you may end up not having a lot of people in your church, because that's what you can handle. Such that if you are given, let's say, 300 church members, you'll be confused. Because you just don't seem to have that capability. Of course, in all that I'm saying, there's the help of the Holy Spirit and all of those things. But these realities also exist. And God knows our differences. That's why the gifts of the Holy Spirit are given to us severally, according to what God feels is best for you. Because he knows us. So, for some, he will never think of giving the spirit of prophecy. Ube say, you would turn the whole thing into something. You don't have what it takes to handle that gift. So, you can actually convert any spiritual gift. But the decision as to whether it will be given to you or not depends on God. And depends on the Holy Spirit. So, as for converting, you can convert. But coveting and having it are two different things. Am I saying something to somebody? Yeah. So from this point, you must understand that we are not all the same. Our abilities are not all the same. And when you accept this, you will not be too agitated when you see certain things with certain people that you don't have. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have desires. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't be ambitious. It doesn't mean that you shouldn't improve yourself. But I'm saying to you, my dear friend, that there are some things that others will have that you will not have. And it is God who decides. Introducing that element of God's sovereignty into the discussion. You can't run away from that. I think that it's something that we often ignore. But there's a God who is in control and who is in charge. So the scripture says, be content with such things as you have. Hallelujah. And once you understand this, you get to the place where you don't envy anybody. And you are not jealous of anybody. You get to a place where you can celebrate with others concerning what they have. You may not have it. But you just tell yourself that, yeah, it's God who has given it. That's what it is. Hallelujah. Are you being blessed at all? Are you learning a lot of things? All right. You see, these messages are not take it, receive it messages. That's not what it is. There's a place for all of that. And particularly during the times of impartation, the focus is more of, you know, teaching, systematically imparting knowledge to us. And it is necessary because we cannot just survive on the milk of the word. There's a need to get into the meat of the word. And once we are moving more into the meat, it's an indication that we are moving from being babes and children in the Lord to mature people who are able to eat the meaty things. Amen. All right. Because you take little children, they always want to eat sweets. Why do they want to eat sweets? Because sweets are sweet. And they don't realize that they must like yam. They must be open to banku. They must be able to chew chicken, beef, fish. They must understand that vegetables are good for them. Hey, brother, are you eating vegetables now? Small. Fantastic. There's a point when you give him fried rice, he would take out every vegetable out of it. It's a wonderful thing. Then we'll grow wild. Eat it. And then they said, if I eat, I'll vomit. It's fantastic. Fruits. My son. So what is making you grow tall? Is it steroids? Who's been feeding you with steroids? It's the beans. You can eat gobe 7 days a week. It's amazing. But understand that each one of us has been given what we are capable of handling, depending on our several abilities. Number six, whatever God has entrusted to us, He's expecting us to vigorously and diligently go to work and be fruitful in what we do. Whatever God has entrusted to us, He's expecting us to vigorously and diligently go to work and be fruitful in what we do. Whatever God has entrusted to us, He's expecting us to vigorously, with a lot of vigor and energy and enthusiasm and strength, and diligently go to work and be fruitful in whatever we do for him. Amen. Verse 19 of Matthew 25. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. He called them to give an account, which means that he had an expectation. He was expecting them to do their best and to work vigorously and diligently with what he gave to them, and to be fruitful in what he had given to them. Which is why when he got back, he called them to give an account. He had an expectation of them that they would have used what he gave them well and would give proper accounts for it. Number 7. We are almost there. No reason is good enough for not doing your best with what God has entrusted you with. No reason is good enough for not doing your best with what God has entrusted to you. Put it that way. No reason is good enough for not doing your best with what God has entrusted to you. Every Christian and every child of God must understand this. According to the light of your phone is on. No reason is good enough for not doing your best with what God has entrusted you with. So verse 24, 25 of Matthew 25. Then the servant with the one bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." Now, this last guy was full of excuses. "I know you. I know how your mind works. I know that you're a difficult person. I know that if I had done something with this thing and it hadn't gone well, it would not be easy for me." He gave another reason also and said, "I was afraid." So this guy was full of reasons. And I'm sure you've heard it said before that if you don't want to do something, you are full of excuses. Amen? But those who really want to do something, they make a way, or they find a way to do it. So this guy had a lot of excuses, but no reason that he gave was good enough, because the expectation doesn't change. It doesn't waver. You must do your best with what has been given to you. If yours is just to win one soul or to follow that person up until he's established or discipled, do your best. Do your best. Do your best. By all means, do something. Let's see some fruits. Let's see some results. Let's have some returns from what has been entrusted to you and from what has been invested in you. Hallelujah. Number 8. We should always remember that the day of accountability will come when the master will return. We should always remember that the day of accountability will come when the master will return. We should always remember that the day of accountability will come when the master will return. So verse 19 of Matthew 25. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. Yes, he kept long, but he returned. He kept long, but he came. And when he came, it was time to account to him concerning what had been entrusted to them. So we should always remember that the day of accountability will come when the master will return. And ladies and gentlemen, he will come back. Jesus will come back. And when he comes, we will stand before the judgment seat of Christ, where we are going to be assessed. The issue will not be whether we should be allowed into heaven or not. That will not be the issue for discussion. It will have to do with what we did for him, what we did in the body, whether good or bad. Which is why I pointed out that we are saved by grace through faith, not by works. That's number one. Number two, it is this same grace that will ensure that we make it at the end of the day. Number three, let's not think that along the line, it is the good works that we are supposed to do after we are saved that is what completes our salvation. Because we'll be thinking wrongly. And number four, even though it is not the good works that save us and guarantee our place in heaven, they are still very important because we are supposed to bear fruits worthy of repentance. And we are supposed to do certain things. And when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, what he's going to look at is what we did for him, the fruits that we bore that are connected to the good works that we did. And that is where rewards are going to be dished out and reprimands are going to be given to some. Now you may say that, Charlie, me, I'm not concerned about any reward, award and everything. Those who like, all I want to do is to get there. Now it may not seem, the rewards may not look important to you now, but on that day, there will be a lot of regrets. Because the way he will make us feel for not doing better than we did, the look of disappointment in his face will pierce our hearts. And we will cry and he will wipe our tears away. And then he will usher us to wherever we have to go to. Now, there are some people who think that, you know, there are different accommodation quality, different accommodations, qualities, and structures in heaven. There are the very beautiful mansions, like the Trasaco Valleys of heaven. And then there is the, where? Tabo Line. And then there's also the Tabo Line in heaven. I don't think so. I don't think so. Because there cannot be imperfections in the kingdom of God. But we will feel it. You know the way you feel when you've disappointed somebody that is very important to you? That feeling. Yeah. And it's a piercing feeling. So we are saying that the day of accountability, it will definitely come. Number nine, let's finish. Our reward will be based on our faithfulness, not necessarily on results. Not necessarily on results. Our reward will be based on our faithfulness. Not necessarily on results. Results are important, but the key issue at stake will be faithfulness. Faithfulness. So you will see that to the two servants who did their best, verse 20 to 23, it was said, well done, my good and then it goes on, you have been faithful in handling this small amount. It's interesting how it is described. Yes, the five talents, you know. But the key thing you see is faithfulness. So that theme repeats itself. Faithful, faithful, faithful servant. You've been faithful in this. All right? So understand that results are important. But what God is looking for is just do your best. Do your best and be faithful. Now, if you are doing your best and you are not even accomplishing a certain level of results, he's still happy with you. Because if the one talent guy had done his best with the one talent that was given to him and had earned even a quarter of a talent in return, what was said to the five talents guy and the two talents guy, I believe would have been said to him also. It would have been, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful in handling small things or few things. I make you now ruler of many cities. Enter now into the joy of the Lord. It's about being faithful. So whatever has been entrusted to us, let's do it faithfully. 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 If you're supposed to follow up somebody, if your assembly pastor has assigned somebody to you, keep an eye on this person. Do it faithfully. If you are supposed to check on the person during the course of the week, do it faithfully. You're an assembly pastor. You are supposed to fill a report. Do it faithfully. You are in the choir. You sing for the Lord. Attend choir practice faithfully. You are an usher. You are supposed to be involved in all sorts of things, cleaning up the church and everything. Do it faithfully. And usually when we come around, there are usually two or three ushers that we see all the time. And they are the only three ushers who are in church today. It's either Forgive, or it's Sairam, or it's Paul, all the time. And they are the ones who are always doing the donkey work. Others come after the work has been done. And usually they are the ones who are here, especially these two, Sairam and Paul. On Sundays, they wait for every meeting to end. Then they clean up before they go. But they are not the only ushers now. They are not. But the others, then you understand this. You understand this. There. I'm talking about being faithful. Similar situation with the protocol ladies. Similar situation. So, ladies and gentlemen, our reward will be based on faithfulness. And finally, that's a frightening one. There will be a severe, frightening punishment for unprofitable servants. So we should be careful. There will be a severe, frightening punishment for unprofitable servants. And so we should be careful. So in verse 28 to 30 of Matthew 25, then he ordered, take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away. Then comes the punishment. Now throw this useless servant. How is he described? May God never see you and I as useless. Oh, how many useless servants we find in church these days. Useless or unprofitable. Maybe unprofitable sounds kinder. Now throw this useless servant into outer darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. What is weeping and gnashing of teeth symbolic of? Pain, damnation, regrets, loss. I can't claim to fully understand this. I don't. Because weeping and gnashing also refers to hell. I mean, I don't know. But you see, what I suspect is that, and there are some things that God hasn't clearly revealed to us. Don't be deceived by all these my fellow pastors who paint a picture of they have all the answers. They don't have all the answers. There's a certain pride that makes people talk in a certain way like they know everything. There are some things that God has not showed us and will only discover when we get there. But what I suspect is that when you are not very serious about the things of God, it is very easy for you to backslide. And then once the backsliding happens and there is no return to the Lord, you've lost it. You've lost your salvation. And losing your salvation is not because God moved away from you, but you moved away from Him. So that is why when you realize that I'm becoming cold, I am withdrawing, I'm not active, I'm not involved, I'm not doing much, and I seem to be comfortable. I don't think there is any serious Christian who will be comfortable with not doing much for the Lord. I don't think so. So if you are comfortable with not, you know, being committed, not being involved, not doing much for the Lord, then you should begin to question where you are at in your relationship with God. For all you may know, you've gone very far, but you don't know. So we really have to be careful. Now you may think that you are smart. You are making do with doing very little. It's like these guys who work, this Sarah, Paul, and all these other guys. They are taking the thing too seriously. So you come and go. You don't take anything seriously. You are not very committed. You don't come to church early. You don't join the Bible classes. We say, you won't join any department in the church. You only come to church on Sundays. And even that one, when you are coming, you come 30 minutes to the end of the service. You are not involved in the prayer. You are not involved in the worship. If there's something going on with a department in church that you are supposed to be part of, you have other agenda to attend to. The day will come. Then we will see. The day will come and we will see. We will see whether you were wise in adopting that approach to the things of God and to the kingdom of God. May God help us all. And with this, we've come to the end of a season of teaching on the parables of Jesus, and I trust that you've learned a lot. Let us pray. Father, we thank you for everything that you have revealed to us today and for the lessons learned about the parable of the talents. These lessons are supposed to guide us moving forward. I pray that we will not miss out on anything that the Spirit of God wants to do in our lives through this teaching. Raise up amongst us a generation of very committed and devoted, serious Christians who don't joke with the responsibility that has been entrusted to us. Who, irrespective of the size of the ability or the gifts or the talents that God has given to them, do their best faithfully for the kingdom of God. Thank you, Father, for tonight. In Jesus' mighty name, amen.
Thank you for listening to The Shepherd's Voice with Pastor Johnny Awanyo. We do hope that you were greatly blessed. For further inquiries, please call, WhatsApp, or send an SMS text to +233 243 886 622. God bless you.